Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Langstroth's Hive and the Honey Bee, the classic beekeeper's manual, is a foundational beekeeping treatise by L.L. Langstroth, the minister and apiarist widely regarded as the father of modern beekeeping. First published in the 19th century and later revised, the book explains the practical management of honeybees at a time when beekeeping was shifting from traditional hive practices to systematic science-informed methods. Its main purpose is not literary entertainment, but instruction. It teaches readers how bee colonies function, how hives should be designed and handled, and how the beekeeper can work with bees efficiently while minimizing harm to the colony. The manual is historically important because it helped popularize the movable frame hive, one of the most influential innovations in apiculture. It remains relevant as a classic source on bee behavior, hive management, and the logic behind modern beekeeping practice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the movable frame hive as the book's central innovation. The most important technical contribution associated with this book is Langstroth's movable frame hive, which transformed beekeeping from destructive honey removal into a method of repeatable colony management. The principle behind the design is simple but far-reaching. If hive parts are spaced correctly, bees will not glue them permanently together with propolis or comb, allowing the keeper to lift frames without tearing the nest apart. This innovation matters because it makes inspection, swarm control, disease awareness, and honey harvesting much more practical. Instead of treating bees as wild occupants of a fixed structure, Langstroth presents them as colonies that can be managed through careful architecture. The book's analysis of hive design therefore has an engineering logic as well as a biological one. It shows that the right container changes the entire relationship between human and bee, and that technical design can improve both productivity and colony survival. Secondly, a practical guide to bee behavior and colony structure. Langstroth does not treat the bee as a simple producer of honey. He presents the colony as an organized living system with distinct roles and behaviors. The book explains the life of the queen, worker, and drone, and uses that structure to make hive management intelligible. This matters because beekeeping decisions depend on understanding what the colony is trying to do naturally. Swarming, brood rearing, feeding, comb building, and honey storage are not random events in Langstroth's account, but observable parts of the colony's life cycle. By grounding practice in behavior, the manual helps the beekeeper avoid interference that would disrupt reproduction or productivity. The result is a method of management based on observation, rather than force. Even readers without extensive experience can see how the book turns bee biology into actionable knowledge, making the hive legible as a social organism rather than a mystery. Thirdly, swarming, honey production, and the timing of management. A major concern in the book is how to respond to natural swarming without losing control of the colony. Langstroth treats swarming as a normal reproductive process, not merely an inconvenience, but one that requires deliberate management if the beekeeper wants to maintain honey production. This creates one of the book's most practical lessons. Successful apiculture depends on timing. Feeding, adding space, inspecting combs, and harvesting honey all have to match the seasonal rhythm of the bees. If the hive becomes crowded, the colony may swarm. If space is managed well, honey gathering can proceed more efficiently. Langstroth's method therefore links husbandry directly to the colony's internal calendar. The book is valuable because it shows that yield is not simply a matter of taking honey, but of understanding when bees are likely to expand, divide, or store surplus. That makes the manual both a productive guide and a study in ecological coordination. Fourthly, the book's science-minded view of bee health, enemies, and disease. Langstroth gives serious attention to the threats bees face, including diseases, parasites, and other enemies. This aspect of the manual is important because it shows an early effort to treat bee health as a practical subject of diagnosis and prevention rather than superstition. The beekeeper must learn to notice changes in behavior, colony strength, and hive condition, then respond with appropriate management. The book's emphasis on inspection and careful handling reflects an understanding that an apiary is vulnerable to environmental stress and biological attack. Although the medical knowledge of the period was limited compared with modern apiculture, Langstroth's approach was already distinctly systematic. He encourages the reader to look for causes, patterns, and outcomes, which makes the work more than a manual of harvesting. It is also a guide to preserving colony vitality. In this sense, the book anticipates the modern idea that productive beekeeping depends on health monitoring, not only extraction. Lastly, why the manual remains a classic of accessible technical writing. Another defining feature of the book is its style of explanation. Langstroth writes as a practical observer who wants to make complex beekeeping understandable to a broad audience, not just specialists. This accessibility is part of why the book endured. It combines personal experience, close observation, and a clear instructional structure. so that the reader can move from bee biology to hive design to management technique without losing the thread. The book also stands out historically because it translates a new system of apiculture into usable knowledge at a moment when the field was still developing. That makes it more than a record of ideas. It is a handbook for changing practice. Compared with modern beekeeping books, it may seem old-fashioned in language, but its value lies in showing the original reasoning behind many standard methods. Readers interested in agricultural history, natural history, or the foundations of modern hive management will find it especially rewarding. In conclusion, Langstroth's Hive and the Honey Bee is best suited to readers who want to understand beekeeping at its foundations: beekeepers, students of agriculture, historians of science, and anyone interested in the origins of modern hive management. Its practical benefit lies in showing why the movable frame hive became so transformative and how observation of bee behavior leads to better colony care. Intellectual readers will also value it as a historical document that explains the shift from traditional, often destructive honey collection to a more systematic and sustainable approach. What distinguishes this book from many later beekeeping guides is its foundational status. It does not assume the modern system, it helps create the logic behind it. That gives the manual a rare combination of historical importance and continuing practical relevance. Even where contemporary methods have evolved, Langstroth's emphasis on colony organization, seasonal timing, careful inspection, and respect for bee biology still offers a strong conceptual framework. For readers seeking the roots of modern apiculture, this remains one of the essential texts. If you would like to support L.L. Langstroth, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.